Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your love. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Spirit. As the scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, our King, we pray. Amen. The scripture we are going to read today is Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9. Let me read it for you. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And Lord went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There, he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. As you know, my heart language is Korean. So I want to get started by greeting you in simple Korean. 여러분을 만나 뵙게 돼서 정말로 반갑습니다. So do you want me to translate in English? Hello again, I'm happy. I know it's longer in English, but shorter in Korean. I have been speaking Korean as my mother tongue for 40 years, since my first sound of mommy when I was 3. So I speak English as a foreign language. For that reason, it might be a bit of difficult for you to understand my sermon due to my pronunciation and intonation. But I humbly ask you to have mercy on me. I know it's kind of exaggerating, but it's true. Believe it or not, learning a foreign language is a great adventure, and it is not an easy journey. Because you have to leave your mother tongue for a while and to stay in a new one at the same time. But the process is also a delightful and surprising experience. And there are many benefits. One of them is patience of the unfamiliar. I learned how hard it is to deliver the unseen heart and mind through our tiny little language vessel. So sometimes, even if the other person hurts me with their words or gives me false expectations and disappoints by their words, I've tried to be generous to them by saying, "Don't worry, that doesn't bother me. I understand you didn't mean that." But if the message is very clear and there is no room for any misleading, and the content of the message itself makes me uncomfortable, I will be in trouble. And I believe Abraham did this trouble when he first heard plainly from the divine voice a long time ago, Mesopotamia. Leave your country, your people, your family. According to Stephen's sermon, God first appeared to Abraham in Ur of Chaldeans. Ur of Chaldeans in southern Mesopotamia was a civilized city in the fertile region when God appeared to Abraham. Mesopotamia was the birthplace of four civilizations, and it was probably under the influence of the Sumer civilization at that time. So it was not only Abraham's home, but also center of civilization. Having to leave southern Mesopotamia and go to an unknown destination was a big challenge enough to shake Abraham's identity from the very beginning. Also, it might be a difficult choice for him to leave while Sarah was barren. You know, without children, the challenge for the mysterious future could be meaningless for him. That's why when he heard God's second command in Haran, Abraham might have said to himself, "No, haven't I already followed my father and left my homeland Ur and to Haran, Mesopotamia still? Could Haran of not be the promised land? Did I hear something wrong?" But he vividly heard a strange voice-like sound. He did not know what it was and where it was coming from. You know, usually a sound is a vibration that spreads an acoustic wave through a transmission medium, such as gas, liquid, or solid. But this voice-like sound must have been unique. It was not a sound that could be heard and understood by normal ears. But also, it was not a voice that anyone would have heard until now. However, Abraham understood precisely the message because the sound seemed overwhelming, not only for his ears, but especially for his heart and his whole body from toe to head. Now, his choice was a venture of faith. I wonder what comes to your mind first when you hear the word of leave. I asked my wife, Shine, what comes to her mind first when she hears the word leave. And she said, travel and separation. So one is more positive and the other has more negative nuance. I searched the verb leave in the dictionary. It shows 13 meanings of it. First, it is to go away from a person or a place. And the last is to make something happen or remain as a result. However, the concept of the leaving in the text today has a slightly different meaning from our daily expressions. Actually, the verb used for Abraham in Acts 7 has the nuance of depart. But the verb used in Genesis 12 is more like walk. And in my NIV translation version, it says go. But its original meaning is walk. So when God called Abraham in the first place in Mesopotamia, he said, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. But in the second calling, today's passage, God said, walk your country, or from walk from your country. So considering preposition in Hebrew. Actually, Jumo, my friend, he is studying in PhD of Old Testament. He helped me about Hebrew grammar. I'm glad you are here today, Jumo. And according to John Golden Gay, I know Monday Night Women's Bible Study once used his commentary as a textbook. So Golden Gay says, When God calls Abraham, it is more like a summons, more like a master calling a servant, like, get yourself. So it is a straight peremptory binding, like the reason Christ called of Saul the Pharisee. I remember my experience of leaving and being summoned. There was a major turning point in my life. Actually, all Korean young male adults must take army service when they reach a certain age. You can say military duty for Koreans is an opportunity to understand the wounds and scars of Korean war deeply, right? Still, it is also a difficult time when you have to leave your family and your friends for a certain period. In my case, for 3 years. The 3 years of my military service were the most extended period of my life, as if time really stopped. Positively, living as a soldier is a steady and balanced life. But if you flip the coin over, it is an oppressive life with no freedom. Even for those who don't have much patriotism, it is still mandatory to spend 3 years as a soldier giving up your own freedom for your country. Thankfully, my Christian faith allowed me to endure it. However, for all 3 years, a word inscribed in the middle of my heart was departure. I made a promise every night before going to bed. When I got my freedom back from the military, I would leave this country. And in fact, I thought about which country I would go to. After much deliberation, I chose Australia. Yes, that's the country with koalas and kangaroos. Whenever I dreamed of traveling in Australia, I was able to forget each moment of my stuffy and dry life as a soldier. I dreamed of an endless expensive mango farm in Australia. Sometimes I saw very close up massive python raising its body vertically to the mango tree. And I saw a wild kangaroo jumping to my tent. And I found countless stars at night. And I saw a huge whale like a sea monster blowing in the South Pacific Ocean. I was absolutely driven into freedom by all of the nature wonders of my God. However, when I woke up in the morning, I realized that I was in the same confined space as a soldier, and I couldn't run away from my mandatory daily routine. My body was in the same place, but my imagination departed elsewhere every night. There is a book called Exclusion and Embrace, written by Professor Miroslav Volf. I find this book written from the heart of a crucified follower of Christ, traveling to and from his homeland, where wars have ravaged his people and have trampled them down like beasts. He pointed out that Abraham refused to follow the flow and resolved to move forward in response to God's call. Abraham's departure is not an aimless wandering. His departure has a starting point with a great picture, the definite purpose. In order to form a great nation and to possess territory. So his leaving is only a temporary state, not an end in itself. So God first called Abraham to depart, but then he called him again to walk to his calling. Excuse me. So Abraham's first departure from Ur was contingent on God's direction. But Abraham's second departure was a bigger network of relationships his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the people they had acquired in Haran. It was a state of being bound to God and surrounded by a walking community. God wanted Abraham to walk, but it was not aimless wandering. It's about walking toward God's blessing, becoming a great nation through which all people on earth would be blessed through him. So whenever they walked as a walking community, there was hope. The hope that God's blessing could come to them wherever they went. However, this wonderful picture of walking by faith was not begun or even conducted by Abraham's own effort. It was God who led him so far. He strongly urged him and actually pulled his neck to come to the promised land, Canaan. If God led, leading him by his hand gently, then the novel-like story could not have become a reality. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia. What was he doing there? He was worshiping other gods, following his father Terah. Not only as Joshua, but also as Stephen referred to it as a specific time. It implies that the long stay in Haran was not a short period. God had to appear again in Haran to show that the stay in Haran was Abraham's disobedience. He was worshiping other gods on the opposite side of the river. But the God of glory appeared to Abraham, and he continuously drove him forward. And that's how we arrived in Haran. Abraham and his people set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Here, I want you to pay attention to this phrase. The NASB version translated it as, "Thus they came to the land of Canaan." It translates it as it does. Yes, it was God who led Abraham. God was the one who drove Abraham and finally brought him to the land of Canaan. God led Abraham step by step, and sometimes he even had to drag and push him until he reached Canaan. Abraham's stay in Haran was the greatest confirmation that it was God who enabled him to arrive in Canaan. If Abraham left Ur by his own faith, there was no reason to settle in Haran. It seems he spent quite a long time in Haran. But God had a grand plan to restore and renew the whole world. So he called Abraham and ordered him to leave and walk with him. And I can imagine that Abraham was remembering that God might told Adam and Eve to leave the Garden of Eden, yes, the place where they rejected God. And I think Abraham might have remembered how God took Enoch, who walked faithfully with God, out of sinful land. After being discharged from my military, I came to a reality that I had only in my dream and imagination. I really worked on a farm, mango farm, in Australia. Now, I saw many young people who came to Australia from all different countries, France, England, South Arabia, and China and Japan, and holding their working holiday visa. While working with them on the farm, I filled my belly with mangoes for 3 meals a day. Perhaps the amount of mango I ate at that time would be more than the amount of mango I would eat the rest of my life. After working, we went to a waterfall and near the farm to enjoy the fall water. Even though I felt a little bit of dizzy to see a friend who came from France diving from a height of 10 meters, but the happiness of freedom and challenge was incomparable to my precious life as a soldier, mandatory life. I went on a trip with my friends with the money I earned from the mango farm. Starting from Sydney, we went to Melbourne, Brisbane, and Gold Coast, and Perth in West Australia. I really liked the joy and freedom. And I'm thinking, the reason I was able to enjoy the freedom greatly at the time was because I departed from the military. Actually, you know, at the end of my army service, I was offered a high salary and promotion. However, for the simple reason of regaining my suspended freedom back, I rejected the stable offer gently with no thanks. So I was able to come here to Grand Rapids with my beloved wife and Hyun, my sons. And also I am being able to preach now at Neyland, the walking community that God loves so much, right? Brothers and sisters, through faith, we must depart from our old wandering culture because our ultimate commitment might be given to God and God's Messiah who transcends every culture. But because of our Lord Christ, who offers himself as a home for all people, we, being in Christ, children of Abraham, can depart from our wandering culture without having to physically leave it. So it's not about spatial departure, but about here and now. It can take place within our daily life, a familiar and comfortable life. Never simply distance. A genuinely Christian departure is always also presence. Never simply work and struggle. It is always a ready rest and joy. I'm closing. The promise that we become a blessing is the one we received through our father Abraham. Sisters and brothers, you are blessed. God has blessed you, and whoever blesses you will be blessed. And whoever curses you, God will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, your daily life. As a blessing vessel, you are to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, because that's the blessing. Yes, doing what is right and just is the very blessing that God has promised. So by enjoying our blessings, we will see more clear, more vividly, his kingdom come. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your message. Father God, give us this faith. Help us to acknowledge who we are and what strength and privilege and blessings we have been given as your children. Please fill us with the faith that you granted your son Abraham, and let us share joy and comfort throughout our lives. And let the churches be abundant with service and sacrifice and experience the glory of God. We pray in your lovely name. Amen.